Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, the fabulous, the fluoridated, the allegedly least corrupt country in the world. Sorry, allergic to bullshit. My very special guest is Suzanne Posel, the driving force behind OccupyCorporatism.com and the US Independent, otherwise known as the USI. That's us. Right? And I think what's happening now in the broader truth community, it's always very specific with somebody's experience and scope, but at the end of the day, it's about letting your sense of truth find your path through behaviors. If you're willing to let ideology get in the way of your search for truth, you're in the wrong movement. And you need to stop that stuff. Suzanne Posel is somebody who sticks to principles and integrity more than anybody I know, which is why she's the only person actually really in the entire truth movement that I kind of like in some degree of officialdom associate with. Welcome to the show. And what have you got for us today?
Well, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I have the Council for National Policy. Have you ever heard of them?
You know what? It rings a bell. The scumbaggery bell. Why is that bell ringing?
It's the missing link. Okay, everybody's looking for a connection between apes and humans. This is the missing link. Back 2 years ago, when I started looking into manufactured revolutions, and it started with the Occupy movement, and it was inspired because I was associated with Occupy Wall Street, even though I just named it Occupy Corporatism, because I saw so much corporatism. Occupation is the proper term. One of the things that I found that always struck me as strange, and I just couldn't understand what it was about, was that the International Republican Institute was involved directly in all of the manufactured revolutions all over the world. And it's the International Republican Institute. So I'm not trying to be partisan here, but why do the Republicans want to start revolutions in countries that end up in stability operations, destabilization, allocation of resources through loans with the IMF and the World Bank, and then the installation of a patsy or a transitional council like they have in Libya and what they're trying to do in Syria? this pattern goes on all across the globe. And when it first springs up, we think, oh, wow, how wonderful. Look at these people. They're fighting for their rights. And we have no idea that the entire thing was manufactured, taking the actual grievances that are completely 100% legitimate of the people against their government, the corporations and the banks who have taken over, and using that to foster these revolutions that end up in stability operations, allocation of resources, massive amounts of debt, and then a controlled patsy or transitional council. So someone brought to my attention the Council for National Policy. And for me, this was the missing link. And I saw an interview with Charlotte Iserby, who I respect greatly. So I watch everything that she does. And she was talking about the Council for National Policy. And the person who was interviewing her, who will remain nameless, was trying to divert her to another kind of conversation. And even made some statements like, you might find this hilarious, that the CFR started out good and then got co-opted. But they had good intentions when they started.
Isn't that what they all say?
You know, here's the funny thing. Ludwig von Mises was...
Well, this doesn't sound good right away.
It's just... this is an example, folks, of what I just said. Ludwig von Mises was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation to come to the United States and continue his research. Well, at some point, his funding was cut off. And the Ludwig von Mises Institute explains that as his, his direction and ideology was too radical for Rockefeller, and so he quit the funding.
Apparently Rockefeller hated Mises to pieces.
Exactly, but here's the funny kicker that nobody... Here's the other side of it. Like I was saying, the day after the revolution, here's the day after that story, because it keeps going, folks. There's no period. There's a comma. They just don't tell you that there's a comma. So Ludwig von Mises actually lost his funding, quote-unquote, the same time he gained a professorship at New York University. Interestingly, he was never paid directly by the university. His money came from private donors. And it was that way until 1969, I think it was, when he retired. So who actually paid a salary there? Did Rockefeller stop funding him? I don't know. Just interesting.
You know, there's no such thing as an interesting coincidence if there isn't some kind of scumbaggery involved here. You know, in general.
Absolutely.
So what have they done wrong? I mean, literally, you're talking about the missing link. Are we talking about a policy organization that more or less writes the rule book by which people screw over each other and manage it in a nice, fashionable way so that they can be the black hole in the middle of it, sucking up all the money and the energy and resources and power over human life, and wind up the victors when we all wind up slaves or dead?
These are the people who write the propaganda for the Republican, the red team, from the GOP Republicans all the way down to the right-wing conspiracy theorists. They are the ones who write the plot lines and the information storylines and the perspective in which we are supposed to take on every issue that comes in front of us. From the top all the way down to the bottom, crazy tinfoil hat wearing, quote unquote, kind of people. Now,
they frame the debate, in other words, in every single sector.
Absolutely. Listen to this. In 1981, the same year that Ronald Reagan was elected, which is interesting because everybody misses the Reagan years. You know, Reagan was the best president that ever lived, and blah, blah, blah. That same year, Reverend Tim LaHaye, who is the co-author of the Left Behind series, founded the Council for National Policy. The heaviest donor to create this 501c3 nonprofit corporation, not organization, it's still a corporation, was Reverend Sun Myung Moon, who in the 1980s, oh, you were born in the 1980s.
He wasn't the guy who came up with the famous sauce, the cream of some young guy.
No, no, this is even crazier. This gentleman believes that he is the second coming of Christ, that Jesus didn't fulfill everything that he was supposed to come down here to do, and Sun Myung Moon is the embodiment of the fruition of everything that Jesus left behind. So on Capitol Hill in the late 90s, Sun Myung Moon was coronated by senators, congressmen, members of the CNP, and they all gathered on Capitol Hill, in our Capitol, to literally place a crown on this gentleman's head and crown him savior of the world. People like Tim LaHaye.
What do you mean, like literally savior of the world? Did he get like a medal?
No, he got like a crown, and he was wearing a red and white bordered robe and a crown, a big crown that kind of puffed out.
Well, you mean like a robe with a big fluffy collar like pimps wear?
Yes, yes.
That sounds massively awesome.
It was exposed even in mainstream. They had footage from the ceremony, and you could see everybody that was there. And some of the congressmen and senators were actually part of the ceremony entourage. So they were wearing special tuxedos with gloves. Okay. And some of them that showed up when this was exposed came out and said, well, we didn't know it was a coronation ceremony. We thought we were just going to a meeting and we were all going to talk about policy. And when we got there, we were shocked. But I don't think that that's true. So.
I got in my white gloves and my Masonic apron to a thing that's a totally exclusive for only a whole bunch of people from across different sectors of society. And we have some dude with a crown and everything of that nature being the center point of attention. Oh, I was just there by accident, you know? That's like, I don't know, I saw an episode of the LEG show and he said, I went to France, got lost and wound up at the Cannes Porno Festival. You know, he just shrugs his shoulders and, you know, how could that happen? You know, see?
Exactly. They took a wrong turn and they ended up at this coronation ceremony and they were bored, so they went ahead and went inside.
Bullshit. Yeah, no, it's like, sorry. What are we going to do, man? Stand around here and smoke cigarette? No, let's go inside and do a little ceremony here. I mean, it might not be our color, our taste, but let's just walk on in there and totally support it anyway. Because after all, they pay for my child's education and everybody else's enslavement. So, you know, I better not get in their way.
Yes, pretty much. Now, it's very important for people listening to understand the Christians are being targeted specifically by this group. It's no coincidence that Reverend Tim LaHaye, who is huge in evangelical Christian circles, the Left Behind series is enormous. And Kirk Cameron, if you remember, did the movie version. He played the main character in the movie that was produced by, I think, TBN or CBN, which is Pat Robertson, Trinity Broadcasting Network, and everyone on there, CNP members. Okay, so let's go into the other founding members who ponied up some money to make sure that the CNP got off the ground. The same year that Reagan was or took office, January 20th, 1981, Paul Weinrich, who is the Christian conservative political organizer and co-founder of the Heritage Foundation. You're going to see a lot of members of the Heritage Foundation. And the Heritage Foundation is huge in the alternative movement, even to the extent that some people who offer complimentary pocket constitutions.
Whoa. Just let me get this straight. This dude does that for a living, and his name is Weinrich. Rick Schultz or Richard, which is shortened again to Dick, so he's a whining dick, and he got this job. You know, tell me there isn't some very comedic god at work here. You know, you can't make this stuff up.
No, And I'm going to go through some names here that are probably going to shock you. They did me. Nelson Baker Hunt, who is the son of H.L. Hunt, the oil billionaire. And these are the people, and Eric...
Was that any relation to Mr. Michael Hunt?
No. And Eric Prince, who is the founder of Blackwater, his mother also financially contributed to the CNP getting off the ground. So we have Reverend Mooney, who is the crowned the savior of the world, who believes that he's the incarnation of Jesus Christ. This is the guy who ponies up the most to fund this group. And then subsequently the Heritage Foundation and H.L. Hunt, oil billionaire, and then the mother of the founder of Blackwater, the Academy, okay, mercenary groups hired by our Department of Defense to go and perform stability operations, that thing I was mentioning the day after the revolution, that kind of thing.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, everything is the opposite when you're talking about the U.S. government. So a stability operation is a destabilizing operation.
Absolutely. They put a gun in your face and they tell you, shut up, we're revamping your government, everything will be fine, you do what we say and nobody gets hurt. So the founders of the CNP, the Council for National Policy, stated that they were seeking to create a Christian conservative alternative to the liberalism of the Council on Foreign Relations. So think about this, folks. You've got the trunk of a tree, and this is a very simplistic example. I understand that it's more complex than that, and I know that you know that. But for argument's sake, this is a very simple explanation, so you can get a visual of what I'm talking about and for what they are created for, so you understand. The trunk of the tree is the guys running the show. On the left, for the blue team, they have the CFR and all of the sub-branches and sub-branches of sub-branches and sub-branches of sub-branches of sub-branches, and on it goes. And then on the right, for the red team, you have the CNP. And that branch extends out, and branches extend from that, and on it goes. So what you have here is the left-right paradigm in the United States. What you have here is the red team and the blue team, the donkeys and the elephants. This is the two factions that control the ideology of the left-right paradigm. Now, the reason why this is so important to the alternative movement and to the truth movement and to the constitutional, the patriot, whatever you want to call it, even the Tea Party patriots, anarchists or libertarians, you want to listen to this. Let's go over the members of the CNP. And this is a lengthy list. And Vinny, if you want to stop me at any point to discuss any of these people, just stop me, because it is a lengthy list. And this is just what I have found. I am still looking into this. I've been looking for the last 4 weeks. And I've got so much information, it's incredible. So these are the names of the people that I've found so far. Are you ready?
You betcha.
All right. Richard Allen, National Security Advisor under Reagan. John Ashcroft, former U.S. Attorney General.
The man who became the Attorney General and the representative for his state because he ran against a guy who died.
Yes. So Clay Aiken had that, that happened to him.
Are we talking Clay Aiken the singer, or is it just coincidentally another faggy looking politician?
No, it is. It's American Idol. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, his opponent passed away, so he got the nomination, and he won.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot more sense.
Steve Baldwin, who has no ties to the Baldwin brothers or the Baldwin family. He's the head of the council, the CEO and the president current of the Council for National Policy.
He's not by chance bald?
No, he's not.
Baldwin and name only? Okay. Continue.
No. It would be funny if... Never mind. Gary Bauer, who is from Family Research Center.
Ahmad, no relation to Jack Bauer of 24.
No. Loosely based.
Although he does torture people to get information out of them. Continue.
allegedly. Ahmad Bajgrove, journalist for the Washington Times. And
Ahmad
Insight-
Bajgrove? I mean, that sounds a lot like a place in India called Ahmad Ganja Grove.
He's a journalist for the Washington Times. And folks, you got to know this. That crazy dude who was coronated as savior of the world, Reverend Sun Myung Moon, he owns the Washington Times. So stop sharing their articles, okay? You're sharing this crazy man's BS from his little feelers called journalists, okay?
His little feelers, you know? Just think of Rich- the little feelers, ladies and gentlemen, you know, like...
Okay. Richard DeVos, co-founder of Amway. James Dobson.
No way.
Yeah. James Dobson from Focus on the Family. James Dobson is a huge evangelical Christian figurehead, very big, written a lot of bestsellers on the New York Times, huge. Jerry Falwell, televangelist. Edwin Fuelner, who is the founder for the Heritage Foundation. There's number two.
Apparently, Jerry Falwell also recovered very quickly from a hip replacement surgery after he fell badly.
Mm. Kevin Gentry, who is a lobbyist for Koch Industries. Larry Klayman, the founder of...
A lobby for Koch Industries? You mean the ones with ties to the CIA that laundered drug money for them, incidentally, from Koch?
They are members of the CNP, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'll get into the agenda of the CNP in just a minute after I finish this list. Larry Klayman, founder of Judicial Watch. That's huge. Larry Klayman is huge in alternative circles.
Yeah.
Wayne LaPierre, spokesman, CEO, and president of the NRA. Huge name. Member of the CNP. Paul Mastriciana, who is the producer of the Clinton Chronicles. This is where we get the Clinton body count. So my question when I saw this was, if this gentleman is a member of the CNP and he produced the Clinton body, the Clinton Chronicles, how accurate could the Clinton body count be?
Well, I think it's actually more a question of whether, of not whether the member talked about the body count, it's whether or not Bill Clinton produced his member.
Dry clean your clothes, ladies. Oliver North, who was part of the Iran-Contra scandal. Ralph Reed, and we'll talk about the Iran-Contra scandal later on. Ralph Reed, former head of the Christian Coalition. Pat Robertson, who is a televangelist and president of Christian Broadcasting Network.
These are basically the big boys of mind control, more or less. They've either got some kind of a flock of brainwashed morons who believe anything that they say, or they are a brainwashed moron and do anything they're told. Write anything they're told to write, et cetera. This is perception management. This is the A team of perception management. This is the Legion of Doom of mind control, meeting together, coronating some dude.
Yes. Now, I'm going to keep going with the list because some of the names are going to... If Larry Klayman and Wayne LaPierre did not shock you, I've got more. Pat Robertson, televangelist. John Sununu, former chief of staff for George H.W. Bush.
Who incidentally makes you go to sleep when he delivers his speeches and be nicknamed Don Snoo Snoo.
And he, George H.W. Bush is also a member of the CNP.
Well, of course.
Of course.
I mean, every cupcake needs its cherry on top.
Oh, geez. Dr. Stanley Monteith, who is a regular on certain alternative radio shows and does a lot of interviews in alternative circles.
He came up with the fluoride deception. He's actually the first person to open my eyes to fluoride. Mm.
I know. It gets worse. Eric Erickson, editor-in-chief for redstate.com. That is huge in libertarian circles. Lewis Berner, who is the managing director for Bain Capital. And by the way, Mitt Romney is a member of the CMP as well.
Eric Erickson reminds me of Chris Christopherson. I don't know why.
If you know that your name is Christopherson, do not name your son Christopher. It's not catchy or witty.
Well, they can make you famous.
Yes, but then you're forced to become famous because everybody laughs that your name is your last name.
I guess so. And I think that would probably harden you from the harsh criticism you'd get from the average douchebag in the music industry.
Probably, because you went through it all throughout your school years from K to 12 in college. Sure, you could definitely tackle Hollywood.
Especially if you're a oncey little maggot who wants to run for the presidency after going on American Idol and going through that grueling process. Continue on with the list.
Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal. John Allison, President and CEO of the Cato Institute. Huge.
Oh, that's huge, man. That's like, there have been all the... There's two stages of climate denial, and one of them's true, as in, let's not tax all resources on life on Earth and kill everybody and take control of their entire inherent right to freedom. And then there's the other mob who are basically the corporate lapdog scumbags who put out the official cigarette science, blah, 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 denying it to make the real protesters look bad. That's the Cato Institute. In one instance, only one. They do lots of other stuff, but yes.
They're a member of the CNP. It makes sense then. Fred Barnes, executive editor of the Weekly Standard. Steve Green, president of Hobby Lobby Stores. And you're going to want to remember his name. Write it down if you have to, because I'm going to talk about him later in connection to the Las Vegas shooting.
So cannabis users out there, just remember Steve Green. I think it'll be easy for you.
Jim DeMint, who is the president-elect of the Heritage Foundation. That makes three.
Mint, there's another thing that's green. You can remember that too, Stoner.
Michael Medved, who is a syndicated talk show host and New York Times bestselling author.
Medved? It sounds like some kind of a, I don't know, like an injection that you would receive directly into your skull sort of thing. Like in an emergency condition when you've just started to learn how to think to yourself and they need to drug you in a particular way that just destroys that part of the brain.
Right.
Is that sort of what his job is?
When I explain what the purpose of the CNP is and what they are doing and how they're doing it, that would make complete sense.
Yeah.
Kentucky okay. Senator Rand Paul.
Ah, yeah. Now my starts to make a lot more sense.
It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
Pat Buchanan. Eric Prince, founder of Blackwater. Where am I? Christopher Ruddy, chief executor of Newsmax Media. Newsmax.com is just as reliable as the Washington Times.
That's because it's rudderless.
Because it's CNP riddled.
It's morally rudderless. That's what it is. And it incidentally has a guy named Ruddle something on it.
Yes, exactly. Mark Levin, who is huge. He's a constitutional attorney. He is the host of the Mark Levin Show. He's a New York Times bestseller. He's on many, many, many radio shows and does appearances on news and as an expert. Huge, yeah. In patriot and libertarian circles.
Mark Levin, the Mark Levin Show. Man. Doesn't he just like, hate those egotistical freaks that like name a show after themselves? By the way, we've got to go to a break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Please go there as soon as you can and sign up for a regular monthly donation-y thingy of about $5 or $10 or whatever you feel like you can afford or not, and we will stay on the air, you know, and keep producing lots of content with incredibly interesting information like the kind Suzanne is capable of bringing out because of her investigative journalism abilities previously as a paralegal, which is twice as powerful as a single legal, because there's two of them because they're paralegals. And we'll be right back at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. God, that was a terrible joke. Right. Sorry about that.
It was funny. Yeah. No, it was good.
Okay. Everybody thinks they're bad. No. Okay. We're going to break. We'll be right back, Liz.
Absolutely. Danger!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the most deadly serious 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. If you don't laugh, you'll cry. It's very, very true, isn't it? Now, with my very special guest, Suzanne Posel from the USIndependent.com and OccupyCorporatism.com and RealGorillaMedia.com, and there's all sorts of other links and everything like that, but basically, just go and Google Suzanne Posel, you know, through preferably through your NSA-operated watchlist search engine so that she gets lots more hits from them spying on her website and allegedly trying to take it down. Anyway, we're going through a list of a whole bunch of people. What's it called? The NPR? I forget. I'm so terrible with specifics. That's why I'm a radio show host, because you don't actually need to know anything in order to be a radio show host. Believe me, it's a self... what's it called? A self-evident truth. That radio show hosts really don't know what they're talking about. And I might be one of the only ones who's actually prepared to admit it and call us out on our BS. So, Suzanne, yes, continue.
It's the Council for National Policy.
Aye.
And I'm still going through the list of people that I found. And I'm sure that there are more. But these are the people that I found so far. And we talked about Mark Levin. We talked about Larry Klayman from Judicial Watch and the president of the Cato Institute, and Steve Green from Hobby Lobby Stores. Andrew Breitbart was also a member of the CNP, which I find very interesting, because wasn't he Breitbarted?
Yep. He was a bright spark that got Breitbarted.
I'm curious if they killed their own.
Well, of course you do. You can't run a mafia organization to brainwash and enslave and kill people without having the extra added benefit of being able to kill off your own members if they try to get in the way of the plan. Because nobody could get in the way of the plan better than somebody from the inside. Because as everybody knows, there is no defense against an inside job.
That's true. But what if they created the inside? They created it, and they didn't infiltrate, because you can't infiltrate something you created. And I'll get into that. But let me continue with the list. Michelle Bachmann, who is a House representative, she's interesting because for the last 2 years, she was complaining when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State about an aide that Hillary Clinton had whose mother and two brothers were members of the Muslim Brotherhood. And Michelle Bachmann was talking about how the Muslim Brotherhood had infiltrated the Obama administration through this woman. So she's a member of the CNP. That's very interesting. John R. Bolton, who is now he appears as a consultant on Fox News. He was also part of our government. He's spoken at Senate hearings in favor of things like...
Extraordinary rendition, just like Michael Bolton?
No. But he's got one of those wiggly mustaches, kind of like from the 1920s or something, like a barber.
Yeah. Like a Marx Brothers mustache.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy sounds deeply sexual.
Absolutely. Michael Steele, who is the chairman for the National Republican Committee, the NRC. That's it. That's where we get the candidate from, the NRC. And he's on the Council for National Policy. John McCain, Senator John McCain.
Ah, McCain, you've done it again.
Yes. Now, John McCain is interesting because... John McCain is on the board of the International Republican Institute that I was talking about before.
Mm.
So let's talk about the International Republican Institute now. Because, like I said, they are responsible for every manufactured revolution, including the one that is trying to happen here in the United States. And John McCain is on their board of directors. And he has been seen with members of the opposition in Syria in pictures. He likes to take pictures with with the heads of these fake, basically mercenary, fake opposition groups like the Free Syrian Army and the opposition in the Ukraine, the neo-Nazi opposition in the Ukraine. He was seen with the leaders of the opposition in Egypt in pictures. So the International Republican Institute, like I said, I asked myself that question 2 years ago. Why does the Republican Party want to manufacture revolutions? Why do they want that? Well, what the International Republican Institute did in 1998 to 2003 was monitor and watch and actually get into the inner circle of the alleged nameless faceless group named OPTOR. And OPTOR was fostering and quite successful in implementing a nonviolent revolution. And so what the IRI did was they sent their guys in there to find out what they were doing, how they were doing it, and monitor. They did not infiltrate. They just watched and took notes. And on my website, if you look up nonviolent revolution or manufactured revolutions, at the bottom of that article, you can watch the 52-minute documentary of what I'm talking about right now from the International Republican Institute themselves. They were so proud. It's called How to Start a Revolution. If you want to put that in Google, you can find it for yourself. This comes from Gene Sharp. Gene Sharp wrote a book in, or a thesis in 1973, which later became a book. From Dictatorship to Democracy, a Conceptual Framework for Liberation. And this is 198 Ways to Topple Your Government Using Nonviolent Resistance, using the icon of the fist and the peace sign to signal other members or to let people know that, that this is that particular quote-unquote grassroots revolution, to use colors like the yellow and the red and the green revolutions, to place women and children or pregnant women up at the front of the protest, because back in the 90s, police officers were not doing what they're doing to women now. So it was a way to demand that there be peace. And if anything did happen, it was going to happen to women and children up at the front. It wasn't going to happen to the men standing behind them. I don't know. We've heard that.
Whoa, hold on. We saw this happen at the Bundy Ranch, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And I'm going to get into the Bundy Ranch because I can tie the Bundy Ranch back to the CNP as well.
Absolutely. Always a connection. Anything that gets really, really big. All right. There's never been so much as a massive media spectacle about you or I or many of the other people that we've interviewed or topics that we've done exposés on and things of that nature. There's never been like month-long frickin' occupations and things of that nature based on that. Is that because the stuff we're not talking about or writing about is important? No. It's because there's some kind of infiltrated scumbaggery within the mainstream media who try to put specific things on your mind to distract you from all of the stuff that you should be putting on it instead.
Absolutely. In Serbia, their government was tyrannical. They had every right to want to revolt. They were coerced into using this tactic. And because they were successful, what the IRI did was they took that as a blueprint and have manufactured revolutions everywhere. In Libya, in Syria, they're doing it with the Free Syrian Army. They have the Syrian National Council waiting in the wings, just like they have the National Transitional Council in Libya, which is a de facto organization of heads of terrorists, known terrorist organizations who have a seat at the UN. So technically, if you want to have that conversation with someone, you can pull that out of your hat. There are terrorists, literal terrorists, who sit at this at the UN and help make decisions.
Well, here's the thing. I think the brainwashing globally runs really, really deep. And all the people who think that their own governments are corrupt and that there's corrupt bankers and so on and so forth, they get to the point where they still believe in this great, wonderful, nice, loving, caring organization called the United Nations, even though they themselves would be abhorred by what the United Nations has done over the sea. They're actually implicated in a huge quantity of human trafficking worldwide. They have rolled tanks into, like, shanty towns in Haiti and stuff like that, and just open fire indiscriminately, just killing people randomly. there's some crazy frackers working for those people. And you know what the thing is? It really does start at the top. Where did the UN come around from? Don't know. What have you heard of the League of Nations? You know, World War One, set up by the Treaty of Versailles, which was a stage World War One. So it's just a problem reaction solution to get that, and then another problem reaction solution, World War Two. Somebody gets built up, incidentally, on American money, and just speaks German, so people think he's not on side. And then there's a big war, sacrifice millions of their own people and what have you. And then, boom, everybody's in debt. To who? In order to finance their unlimited war against each other at the time? The bankers, who finance both sides. And then, guess who winds up paying for the land that the UN building gets sit on? Oh, that's right. It was John D. Rockefeller or something, wasn't it? And who was the very first Secretary General? Wasn't it a former aficionado of the Nazi Party? Why, yes. Yes, it was. It's not freaking rocket science. There ain't nothing that can go good out of a blending of Nazi ideology with Rockefeller money. I mean, look, if you have an incredibly ugly person, have a child with an incredibly deformed person, the child's not going to be a supermodel. It's just that simple. Not to put on the stress of incredibly ugly or deformed people, which would be insensitive. Not the implication I was looking at going for. I was looking to insult the Nazi corporatist scum that has set up the UN. And not to criticize anybody who uses them as a source and what have you, but you're using a source that was born out of that. And you could argue, oh, well, you know, there's other people in there who are doing a nice job. Well, I'm sure there are. But unfortunately, it doesn't matter how nice the person is at the company, they still have to follow company protocol. And if that dictates that you pass resolutions and say, oh, you're a very naughty boy for killing all those people, and then publishes that widely, and it doesn't make them stop killing people, and meanwhile, they're also themselves off murdering, child trafficking, raping, etc., it doesn't equate any kind of credibility to a serious mind who's unwilling to let their ideology get in their path to the truth. You know, you really got to ditch that and just realize that you've been scammed. I'm sorry. I'm not telling a lot of people something that they don't know already. Some of you might. But it's a very serious realization that I had to come to. And a lot of people should. Anyway. Suzanne?
Let's take us back to the Optor movement and the IRI. So the Optor movement used Gene Sharp's book, From Dictatorship to Democracy, and was successful. And the IRI watched their success and has manufactured all of the revolutions based on the blueprint from dictatorship to democracy. And for doing so, Gene Sharp has been given a very cushy job as the founder of the Albert Einstein Institute, who has on their board members the Ford Foundation and the Rand Corporation, the International Republican Institute, and the National Endowment for Democracy. The National Endowment for Democracy is where Congress funnels taxpayer money into funding for the International Republican Institute to pursue these manufactured revolutions all over the world. So if you want to know who's paying for that, it's Americans are paying for this. When I
just
realized,
like American money was being given to the setup of the Third Reich and the build up to World War II.
Yes. Well, when I realized, let me go back to their mission. Okay, they were set up to be the conservative alternative Christian conservative alternative to the liberalism of the Council on Foreign Relations, and in their mission statement, they say that they want to, quote, acquaint our membership with those in positions of leadership in our nation in order that mutual respect be fostered. to encourage the exchange of information concerning the methodology of working within the system to promote their values and ends sought by their individual members. Do you understand what that means? That means that they lobby, take out to dinner, show up at the kid's birthday party with the people who are in positions of leadership in the United States, which includes members of government, which includes heads of corporation, which includes philanthropists, which includes anyone who is in a position of influence and power to get their agenda through using the methodology of working within the system to promote their values and their ends. Sought by the individual members, the members that I was just reading off, the three members of the Heritage Foundation, Tim LaHaye, Larry Klayman, Wayne LaPierre, Mark Levin, Paul Craig Roberts, Jerome Corsi, Orly Tates. Jerome Corsi and Orly Tates and Joe Arpaio, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, are huge in the birther movement. And Jerome Corsi and Orly Tates are members of the CNP. What I'm trying to get you to understand, underlying everything I'm going to tell you today, is what we've been told about the perspective of what has actually happened is coming out of the mouths of members of the CNP, whose goal is to push the United States as far right as humanly possible. They are actually a secret society. They're actually a secret organization. Bélanne Visconti, who is a member of the CMP, was quoted in the early 2000s as saying that the views discussed here among those that you will now see on television and when you open your newspapers. We meet secretly 3 times a year, and members are strongly discouraged from speaking to the press about issues covered at the events or that they even attended a CNP meeting. We don't know where they meet. It's not like the Bilderberg Group. We don't know where they meet. We know that they meet 3 times a year because one of their members said so. But they actually hold real secret meetings in undisclosed locations for confidential conferences to strategize about how to turn the country to the right, as far right as humanly possible. Now, this is dangerous because they have their hands in manufacturing revolutions all over the world. And this is dangerous because here in the United States, the only thing that alternative audiences and members of alternative media can talk about, including libertarians and Tea Party patriots, is revolution. Operation American Spring was supposed to be, thank God it flopped, but it was supposed to be this huge uprising. And the people who were setting it up were quoted on air as saying that they wanted to unseat members of the House and the Senate and the White House, literally take them out of their offices, drag them out if they had to. This is not what we want, because what happens the day after the revolution that nobody's talking about? Well, let's go back to the other manufactured revolutions. In those countries, you get stability operations with Blackwater and DynCorp. Well, that makes sense because Blackwater is owned by a member of the CNP. Then you get stability. After the stability operations, you get the IMF and the World Bank loaning you money because during the revolution, there was a lot of infrastructure that was destroyed, and it costs probably billions of dollars to reconstruct, which, by the way, as a side note, would be great for the Agenda 21 agenda, because then they could just go on with the megacities and let go of everything else that was destroyed. Let it rot. Who cares? It's going to be allocated for non-human use anyway, just as a side note.
Well, and let's not rule it out altogether, I mean, because in my humble opinion, there's a lot of people out there which I don't really think even classify as human anymore. You know, like, there's no creativity, hardly any intelligence. They're being turned into deltas, more or less.
but there's more of it than you realize. See, what the CFR does for the blue team. Well, absolutely. See, what the CFR does with the blue team and the Hillary Clinton and Anderson Cooper and MSNBC and all those people, Jon Stewart from The Daily Show, that's all blue team. And there's many others that I forgot to mention. I'm sorry. But that's the blue team. The red team has Fox News and Larry Klayman and John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute. He's a member of the CMP as well. They have Rand Paul. They have Senator Ted Cruz, who also is a member of the CNP. Jerome Corsi and Paul Craig Roberts and Stanley Monteith. This is not by accident. Pat Buchanan, who was supported by members of alternative media when he was running for president many years ago. He used to have a show called Crossfire, where he sat as a member of the CNP, along with his co-host, whose name escapes me, as a member of the CFR. So you have the CFR and the CMP chiding each other and having what looks like heated conversations. It's literally all just made up, folks. If the CMP and the CFR sit down and chat and make a television show and celebrities out of it, and we watch it, boy, are we dumb. But you know what? We don't know about the CNP. We know a lot about the CFR. Why do we know about the CFR? Because the guys who are running the CNP tell their talking heads to talk about the CFR and, shh, don't talk about the CNP. The CFR controls all of the puppets that are going on, but the CNP controls all the puppets that I've mentioned. That's a huge problem.
Well, that's why they're so successful, is because they've split off into all these different think tank groups and things of that nature, which have all these secret meetings all over the place, which involve very powerful people. And a lot of very powerful people belong to many, many different groups and actually have a much greater overview than others who might be just a member of one. And in so doing, left hand don't know what the right hand's doing, but they're both working together to choke you.
Absolutely. Steve Forbes, member of the CNP. Tim LaHaye's wife, obviously, is a member of the CNP. But this is one that might shock some of your listeners, or you as well. Freedom Fest. Huge. Run by a man named Mark Skozin. Rand Paul spoke in 2013 at Freedom Fest. On their website, they say that they are not affiliated with anyone. They are an independent, nonpartisan, and non-affiliated with any organization or think tank group. However, Skozin is a member of the CNP, so that's not possible. He frequently speaks at their meetings and writes articles for the CNP while being the producer of Freedom Fest, which is billed as, quote, the world's largest gathering of free minds on liberty. That doesn't even make any sense. The CNP is a propaganda-driven organization for the right. How is he giving anyone that attends their Freedom Fest or shows up to speak at Freedom Fest, they do not have liberty in mind. Or maybe their definition of liberty is different than mine. Maybe it's just right, conservative, right-wing Christian ideology that's free and everyone else doesn't deserve freedom. I don't know. But it is not a independent, nonpartisan, non-affiliated organization. They are absolutely affiliated with the CNP. And of course, Rand Paul goes and speaks there. Sarah Palin is another member of the CNP. We have a House Representative, Jim Jordan, who's a member of the CNP. Like I was talking about with Mitt Romney, he just recently had a little mixer for members of the CNP to meet with five GOP presidential hopefuls, hoping to get them some campaign and financial support. 300 people showed up. One of the gentlemen who showed up was Joe Scarborough, who is a former Republican congressman and now a broadcaster for MSNBC. He is hooked up with the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. These people on their board of directors are dripping in the CNP. One of the most impressive was T. Kenneth Cribb, who used to be a former advisor to President Reagan. See, when Reagan came into office, the CNP came into existence. And they have been idolizing the Reagan years ever since and returning back to it. And I think the Clinton years and the Obama years are like a hiccup to them.
This whole debacle sounds like an episode of American Dad.
It is insane that they have their hands in the people that I mentioned here are not people that are unknown in alternative circles. They are some of the most respected and well-known people in alternative circles. And what they say is coming out of the CMP's mouth. They're the talking head. Larry Klayman just filed a lawsuit and lost, unfortunately. But I don't know. Is it unfortunate? Because he's a member of the CNP. And this lawsuit was against the NSA for spying on everyone's personal data through emails and trunk identifiers and all the metadata that they were stealing. But he's a member of the CNP.
Yeah, so and don't let the label confuse you, ladies and gentlemen. If they're stealing metadata, it doesn't mean that the data they're stealing doesn't matter.
Exactly. Actually, it's everything, because we use computers. We use digital communications for everything. It doesn't matter what search engine you're looking at, they track them all. So whatever you feel most comfortable with.
Yeah, they're kind of like Pokemon. You got to track them all.
Exactly. So let's go to the Las Vegas shooting. Because it became really huge in alternative circles, martyring Alex Jones, that he was being implicated in somehow coercing or radicalizing Jared and Amanda Miller, who killed two police officers at a food court in a mall, put a Don't Tread on Me emblem and a swastika and a card that said that this was the beginning of the revolution. They went on.
Did
to
you say
Walmart.
A swatch sticker? Like, why yeah. would they be advertising a swatch?
No, we're going back to Nazis.
I totally had that the wrong way. Continue.
Nobody's seen a swatch watch since the 80s.
Well, I'm sorry. I guess it's because they weren't that well synchronized. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Go to the homepage and check out our sponsors, including now Ditch the Can. So if you want your energy drink and you actually don't want to, you know, have all that waste and all the sugar and all the poisonous crap that goes with it, you can check that stuff out. And you can get like $20 for a big box of it sent your way and whatnot. It's pretty fabulous. We'll be right back.